When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
It's kind of depends on when you're listening to this.
Oh.
But it is, it's New Year's week, let's say.
Oh.
Now, you, when's the show? This is the show debut.
It is the show debut.
Now, tell me, remember that one time?
It's a Sunday.
Saturday.
Sunday the 6th. Sunday the 6th and Monday the 7th. Two-night premiere, Janice.
Now, are you going to you won't tell me, but remember the last time you came on and you came on in the motorcycle and you pulled your helmet off and went la 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 la.
No, it's not that exciting, unfortunately. It starts out in an auditorium and the contestants don't know that they've been cast. So it's
the contestants don't know.
It's a group full of people.
Are you allowed to be telling this?
I don't know. No, but there's no secrets. I just want to know
how you are entering, but if you're not allowed to tell that. Like you come in on a parachute or something?
No, it's nothing like that. We have a new female showrunner, thank God. And,
oh, yeah, you mentioned her. Yeah.
She's just very, she's very real. She tells the story. She believes that it's about the heart of the show, not necessarily theatrics, although there are some kind of crazy challenges. But it's like, I'm back. We're working with kids. We're working with adults. It's compelling stories of people overcoming their demons. Really, I mean, that is what the show is at its core. God, this has been a hard season for me. You've heard me talk about it for months, and I'm excited for people to watch it because I feel like I function in a vacuum. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Dolvette and I haven't had a chance to work together, obviously. This is the first season we've worked together, and they've had, I guess the past season's contestants were horrible. Like, quit, walked out, totally disrespectful. I wasn't there, though. And I've always said, if that happened to me, I'd be like, get out. The door cannot hit you in the ass fast enough. You know, I'm like, this is such an amazing opportunity.
Oh, God.
And you've taken it from somebody who really needed it. And if you don't respect it and appreciate it and earn it, I don't care. Get out. So, Dolvette is like, well, girl,
you know that they're dysfunctional. You know that's what brought them here. And I'm like, not like this. Like the way some of them are struggling is unusual. You know what I mean? Like there are some that, like I've said, there are some that are incredible, and there are some that are so, I don't know. You'll have to watch it. You really will. They want to fail so they can show you that they're right. Like, I mean, they'll fail and then smirk about it. It's just,
what a weird dynamic.
It is so weird. And I'm like, oh my God. And I have these moments where, like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, there are some that I love. There are some you're going to love. But there are some where I'm like, I don't even like you. Like, I just don't like you. I don't like you, and I don't want to work with you. So thank God there are two other trainers here, because I don't believe I can help you.
Wow. Oh.
I mean, it's tough, and it's like, you know, it's complex. I can't wait for everyone to start watching it so I can get some feedback of like, yeah, I saw that, or no, Jill, it's you, or you know what I mean? Because it's just...
Well, speaking of you...
What about me?
Well, I think you're overdoing it. I think you're overloaded.
And what's brought you to this conclusion?
No, I get. You know why? Because I see you. I've known you for a while now, and I've seen you go through many, you know, changes in your career and how much you take on. And I think you can handle a ton. Like, you amaze me on how much you can handle.
I'm working on that.
However, I've seen in my time with you, I have seen people in your life that I wonder how you deal with it.
Like, you have,
well, you have Chicken Littles in your life.
What do you mean Chicken Little?
You have... Chicken, you know, there's Chicken Littles. There's the
where the sky's falling.
The sky's exactly. Yeah. They're people that they take something and it's like, you know, I won't yell on the mic. It's just like, whoa, and this is, and then we're all gonna go down, and then we don't handle this, and it's gonna, it's just like, and you kind of go, wait a minute, hang on, we're not even past A yet, and you're already seeing the worst, the ass mass side of X.
Wait,
you know what
but
I mean?
Let me tell you why though. Because I do understand that. But here's how I deal with it. Here's the problem. The thing is, when someone doesn't say, this is going to be a disaster, and then it is, and you're left dealing with the repercussions of it. Let me tell you, I've got a couple of those. And a couple of those scenarios where you're like, did anybody see that this was going to be a car crash? Anybody? Did anybody see this? Did no one do the recon or the homework on this company we're working with, or this deal, or this or that or this? And you look to your team and you're like, what's wrong with you? It's your job to dot every I. It's your job to cross every T. It's your job to play out the worst case scenario. Because let me tell you, when you're me, it happens. I have a bullseye on my back like you cannot imagine. I mean, I get letters from the district attorney of California, or the attorney general of California, about a DVD package, and they're going to sue me because our DVD package has too much cardboard. And, you have no, and why? Because I'm the biggest one in the space. So I get sued, you know, and they were like, oh my God. And we still were like, okay. And there's some law on the books that if you have too much cardboard on the shelf, but you realize the retailer dictates, you know, we need the box this big and we want it to look like this on the shelf. So like Walmart would tell us, we need your packaging to look like this. But then the district attorney's like, well, how can I make a name for myself by, now, I don't think it was, I can't remember who it was. I'm not a district attorney or attorney general, whatever the heck, of California. I'm going to make a name for myself for suing Jillian Meyer. This is where this comes from. So, you know, for me, all I do all day long is get sued. All we do is just fight lawsuits all day long, all day long.
Seriously?
Yeah, because what happens, so same thing with Oprah, same thing with Dr. Phil, same thing with Rachel Ray, same thing with, who, you know, J-Lo. One of them got sued for an underwear line. I mean, it's like, because it costs a lot of money to defend the lawsuits, so they think that you'll just settle it out for $10,000 or $15,000. So as a rule, we never settle lawsuits. We fight every single one. And Dr. Phil once said, you know, if you fight these suits, the line at the Sue Jillian window gets a lot shorter. And it has, because we never settle. We fight all the suits and get them dismissed. But part of the reason for that Chicken Little is that. So you go, okay, let's play this all the way out. Oof, that ends badly. Okay, let's play this all the way out. Oof, that ends badly. And, you know, G, my business partner, plays Chicken Little with me a lot because we've lived the Chicken Little scenario now so many times. And he definitely does it. He goes there with me. And it works a little bit on me because it helps me manage any impulsive behavior that I have left over, because that's always been an issue of mine, impulsivity. I'll tell somebody in a moment.
Really? I would never.
Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, my God. I would never thought of using impulse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You're a reactive person. I've seen you react really quickly. I guess that is impulsive.
That's impulsive, honey.
Yeah, true.
It's impulsive. Yeah. Deals, you know, where someone, I feel disrespected and I want to be like, screw this. And you know, that's where I constantly, Warren Buffett? You can always tell someone to go to hell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, I try to live by that now. But, you know, I think now before I respond with the world, the sky is falling because I can't tell you how many people I employ. I don't get to make a mistake now. I've got a family. I've got employees. I've got a business. So that's where the Chicken Little, like, granted, if it really spun me out and it stressed me, then I would tell you, okay, you're right. But I take most of it with caution, and it keeps me from making impulsive decisions.
But take business aside.
Yes.
And make it on just a personal level, like you either have friends or just a friend, how when the situation is so dramatic.
I know.
You know, and I see that. I saw that in another situation where I saw someone do that to you, someone more on a personal level.
Yeah.
I was watching. I was just going, oh, my God. Like, and I think the person who plays the Chicken Little part, sometimes I think as if it's an attention-grabbing thing, because if they show that they don't care this passionately about it, prove to you that – does everything have to be at this level?
With Giancarlo, he does the Chicken Little scenario to me because he wants to put the fear of God in me.
Like, and he's protecting the business.
He's like, if you do this, all these things could happen and these are all the consequences. And I do think that's how he manages I think it's fear on his part, and he manages my impulsivity that way.
Okay, but what about on a personal
level? I know. I think it's true. On a personal level, I can handle the Chicken Little fairly okay, though. But I try to look at it and say, all right, what's really a concern? What's really an issue? And is this person bringing more good to the table than bad? And can I manage their a part of them that's less than ideal? Does that make any sense?
It does. So for us.
Yeah.
For those who do have Chicken Littles in their life,
you gotta,
then what is that?
Well, here's what I would say. If you've got a Chicken Little in your life, how's it affecting you? Is it stressing you out? Is it keeping you up at night? And then, yeah, you do need to reevaluate it. But if it's something, you know, I've learned how to use a Chicken Little and manage that, like, all right, I'm not really worried about this. The sky is not going to fall, but I do see the concern about X, Y, or Z, or okay, let me take a beat or a breath on that. I've learned how to use it to my advantage.
Oh, okay.
But with that said, if it is drawing on you, if it is taxing you, because we spend so much time, we really do, we've talked about this before, we spend so much energy worrying about things that never come to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right, you should detox your life from that. For me, I need to worry because in my life, they do come to pass. But I will say, if you have those people, it is the new year. You got to take an inventory of the people in your life. Are they supportive? Do they have your back? Do they make your life better, or do they make your life worse? Because quite honestly, I would rather be alone than be in negative relationships. And I think that's really hard for people. They're like, well, if I get rid of all my friends, where will I be? Yeah, alone for a little while. Get a dog. It will get better. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, go to support, like join an online community, go to the gym, take a spin class, take cooking classes, put yourself in an environment with other supportive people, and you will make new friends. Mm-hmm. Like attracts like.
Yep.
Anyway, was that, where did we go with you?
I don't know. I had a lot of topics in there. I'm sorry, but I was concerned about you. But I see you're doing all right in life.
You feel okay about it?
I think you're getting along okay. I think you're going to do okay this year.
Oh, God.
Happy New Year!
I know. Okay, well, I hope so.
We'll be right back.
Are we up? Huh? Yes?
Yep, we are.
Okay. I thought that I might give you guys a little food quiz.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, no?
Okay. Well, do I have to stop eating?
No, you can answer with your mouth full. Okay. It wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
All right. I thought and this goes for everyone else out there. You need to play along.
Do we need pencil and paper?
No. It's not arithmetic.
No, but are you going to add up the score?
Two food trucks left. Left the farm at 3 o'clock on a Thursday.
No, are you going to add up the score?
No, I mean, so. if you're going to eat, I'm going to eat.
This show's going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay. Going. We went.
Okay. I'm ready. Jake, are you ready, Brittany?
Yeah. We're ready.
Okay.
Okay. How many calories in a pound?
In a pound?
Oh, God.
I know it, but I want to see.
No, you're supposed to try to win.
I'm going to win.
God, I have no idea.
I'm going to give him a chance.
I have no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea? We've been doing this show for years.
I don't know how many calories are in a pound.
You're worthless.
Could we guess?
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, 300.
2,000.
Oh, my God, you idiots. How long have we been doing this?
How many? Then how many?
300 calories in a pound. Really?
Yep.
So you just ate a pound worth of food with your lunch.
Okay, maybe then more. 5,000.
You are so friggin' worthless.
10.
Where have you been? Where have you been when we've been doing this show?
Right here, concentrating.
Brittany?
It's 35 or 3,600.
3,500.
3,500.
Yeah, 3,500.
I was closer.
What did you say?
2,000.
Oh, yeah. You were closer.
Right. So a pound of food doesn't necessarily have...
I'm going to eat a pound of cucumbers, but there's like no calories in it. I'm talking about a pound.
Okay,
how many calories do you have to eat that will equal a pound?
All right, one for Brittany. Okay.
What a shock.
All right, next question.
Okay. Now, we're going to mix it up a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Janice should know this one. This is easy. Okay. Some red food dye is made from bugs. True or false?
True.
Janice got it. She got it. One for Janice. Yes, it is true. And this is because it's labeled as a cochineal extract or something, or it could be listed as carmine on the label. Personally, I find this to be, although it might sound gross, I think it's a hell of a lot better for you than like red number 40.
Yeah, or beaver ass.
Beaver ass, yeah. Yeah, castoreum.
Can't forget that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Pink slime is
meat. Meat that's.
I think it's multiple choice.
It's multiple choice, dude. Coloring in hamburger, beef treated with ammonia, waste left in meat grinders.
Beef treated with ammonia.
Beef treated with ammonia.
Jake's right. One for Jake. All right, ready? This is a tricky one.
Okay.
Which has the most salt? A slice of American cheese? A cup of Raisin Bran, or an ounce of potato chips?
Oh, this is a trick question, because automatically you're going to want to say potato chips, but I'd say the cheese.
Okay.
I'd go with the cheese, too.
Brittany? Cheese. Raisin Bran, 342 milligrams.
Oh, my God, I eat that stuff by the box.
See, I don't eat
well, the thing with salt, here's what you need to keep in mind with salt. It's a transient mineral, so... What it's like if you eat too much of it, yeah, you're going to be bloated out of your mind. You're going to increase, for women out there, you're going to increase your PMS symptoms. Supposedly, way too much sodium helps the body produce cortisol. But the reality is, if you keep your sodium to like 1,500, 2,000 milligrams a day, you're more than fine. If you're working out all the time, then you're actually going to need more salt.
Okay.
I make sure my contestants get around 3,000 milligrams of salt. So you need to make sure, you know, again, an average person, 2,000, 1,500 if you're not training, 3,000 if you're a marathon runner.
Okay.
But yeah, that's high. The thing is, if you're eating constantly foods that are high in sodium, yeah, it's bad.
Okay.
You want to keep it
somewhat
all right. down. All right. I'm going to digress here and do something a little bit fun. Which, yeah,
watch
nothing's
out.
Ever fun on this show.
Okay.
This one's kind of different. We're going off the charts. Let's see how worldly you are. Which cocktail contains something that treats malaria? Scotch and soda, gin and tonic, or a Mai Tai?
I'll say gin and tonic.
Oh, Britt.
The first one, I think it was gin and tonic.
Scotch and soda.
It's gin and tonic. It's the tonic, the quinine.
Quinone, whatever. So both Brittany and I get a point.
Okay. Now.
He's keeping track.
What is trans fat?
Okay.
I don't know the correct definition of trans fat.
Brittany!
I'm sorry.
You guys!
I just stay away from it.
Jake?
It's a chemical fat.
What is it?
Balnoidaha.
Jesus!
I don't know.
It's fat that has a hydrogen atom added to it. Hydrogenated.
Yeah, I just thought of that now. Hydrogenated. It just came to me as you were saying hydrogen, and I went...
Oh, yes. I was going to say the hydrogen.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yep. I think we all get...
Okay. None of you get a point. And the reason it's bad is because the hydrogen keeps the fat from breaking down in your body.
Oh, that I didn't
know. And on the shelves. Okay. Xanthan gum.
And it's in your gum. It's in your gum. It's in your, like a trident.
It's in
the,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like
what
binder.
Does it do?
It's a binder.
It's a binder?
I think it's...
And you say it's in your gum.
You're in your chewing gum.
It's actually in sauces and salad dressings.
Yes.
It's a common additive, and it is a binder. Yes.
Oh, Brittany.
It's actually made from bacteria that feed on corn and soy. So if you're allergic to corn and soy, you should avoid it. But they think that it's non-toxic as of right now.
I see that all the time,
xanthan
though,
gum.
In tons of stuff.
Like, I know, but see, that's the thing. Like, you have no idea what the hell it is.
No, I don't.
Yeah, xanthan gum. It's a thickener made from bacteria that eat corn and soy.
Okay.
Although of all the things you need to look out for, that is like the lowest.
Okay.
But that's my point here, Janice, mm-hmm. is that we have no idea what the F we're eating, man.
So the scientists are like, hey, is this cool to put in the food? Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Yeah, kind of.
Stick together.
Pretty much. It makes it stick together. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Propylene glycol is a common food additive, but where else might you find propylene glycol? In your daily run of, like, the run of the mill of your life.
Like King of the Hill.
Gas.
King of the Hill?
Propylene and propylene accessories. Propylene
King of the Hill. What's King of the Hill?
Doesn't it sound like something you would find in gas?
Yeah.
Is that your answer?
I don't know.
Propylene.
Yeah. I'm the only one who had something to say. It could be totally wrong, though.
What is it?
Antifreeze.
Oh.
I think Brittany should get a point because she knew it had something to do with the car.
It's a component in antifreeze.
I should get a point for
it's also in all of your food. Like it's in your toothpaste. It's in I mean, pick up something. What it does is it keeps things from drying out. But it's a common component in antifreeze.
What about Tom's toothpaste? Is it in that?
No, it's not in Tom's. No, because Tom's is clean.
I get a point because I use that, Janice.
No, you don't. No, she doesn't.
I gave you a point for. Just being knowledgeable. Okay, what's the next one?
You're a jackass.
What's the next question?
Do you want another one?
Yes.
All right. What's better? Multigrain, whole grain, enriched grains.
Whole grain.
Multigrain.
Whole grain.
Jake, you're an idiot.
Ah!
Yeah, it's multigrain. 100 needs to say 100%.
Did you say multigrain?
No, whole grain. Damn it.
Oh,
shut up, Jake.
I thought I was right.
No, multigrain doesn't mean that the grains aren't processed and stripped of fiber and nutrients. Enriched means they've had all the good stuff added back into it, right. But it's cheap stuff and it doesn't really get to the body in the right way. It's not bioavailable in the right way. You want it to say 100% whole grain. Right. And by the way, if it says 100% whole wheat, even though it's not 100% whole grain, it should go 100% whole grain, then 100% whole wheat, then multigrain, which doesn't really mean anything, and then enriched bleached flour, which is
that's
like...
That's good to know when I'm in the bread section.
El Bredo de Sectiono.
Yep.
I came to work to not go to school.
Let me tell you.
Came to the wrong job.
Well, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Is there another one?
Certainly no student. Are you done?
No, I want more questions.
She wants to win. She's looking at the tally mark.
I think she's tied like, up is why.
Oh, are you tied up?
Are you really?
Wait. I'm looking at Janice's numbers. She has about 8 tally marks. I don't think we've even had 8 questions.
All right, I got one. Are you right? I got another one for you. True or false? All processed food is bad.
False.
Jake! Yeah. Can't copy Brittany. Brittany got it first.
Well,
I mean, so.
I mean, obviously the answer is false, but I'm trying to think of something that's processed that would be good.
Frozen vegetables.
That's classified as processed?
Yes. The classification of processed means food that is made easier to consume. That's why you can't just say don't eat processed foods. You got to look at what's in the foods.
I did not know
that. Of course you didn't. Have you officially lost now?
Hang on a second.
What a shock. Janice didn't know that.
Later, she still gave herself a point. She's a cheater. She's
you can't give yourself a point for that.
I agreed with you.
No,
I said
dude.
Very good.
Brittany got the answer to the
question. I gave Brittany a point. It's now 11 for Janice, 6 for Brittany, and 2 for Jake.
What?
11 for Janice. I don't think I've asked 11 questions.
No, but I get bonus points for being
bonus
supportive.
Points.
For participating.
She's giving herself bonus points.
You're like the kid that used to hide money under the side of your Monopoly board, didn't you? Like every time someone would turn around, you'd swipe like a 500 and shove it under your side of the thing, huh?
Let's play bank.
No, you're like the one that steals like, that's right. Yeah. The one that plays bank is always up to no good.
Yeah,
that's how my dad used to do it.
They swipe like 200 or 400 once they hit go, but you won't, if you don't say anything, they won't give you the money.
That's right.
Janice.
That's Janice.
12 for me then. Okay. Is that the end of it?
Now you can put a hotel on your
property. I mean, I can keep going, but I feel like everybody's going to shut the show off. I mean, I'm a wealth of information here.
I think we need one more for 20 points.
For closure.
Oh, God.
This is for winner takes all. Winner takes all.
Just give it to Janice so we can get it over with.
All right. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
What is the... On average... What is the ideal ratio of protein, fat, and carbs you should be consuming?
Protein, carbs, and what? Fat? Did you say?
There's only 3 macronutrients, dude. Protein, fat, and carbs.
70, 20, and 10.
Okay.
You got to say what they're for.
70 carbs, 20 protein, and 10. All right, 65, 25, and 10.
65. You're just making it up as he goes along.
No, that seems right.
65, 25, and 10. Okay.
I say 50, 30, 20.
Okay.
The largest amount has to be protein. It's not carbs, at least to my knowledge. So I would say 60% protein.
And then what?
And then
what?
20-20?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I think it's like probably 30-10. I'm probably wrong, but damn it.
What was mine again? Mine was the right
Yours
one.
Yours is not 50. The right one.
Yes, mine was right. 50, 30, 20.
I think Janice might be closer.
Shut
it's
up.
Actually 40, 30, 30.
40, 30,
you really
30.
Want, I mean,
who
granted.
Who let the dogs out?
Who? 40 what? Who? 15?
Who? Well, no. Here. Okay, so the reality is if you were going to try to, like, individualize it, you would take a little test. I have it in the first 2 books I wrote. It's called an oxidizer test. And it essentially shows you how quickly you turn your food into sugar. And the idea here is that if you turn your food into sugar more quickly than carbs, you're going to want a less ratio of carbs compared to protein and fat because they take longer to break down. But on average, as a general rule of thumb, you want a more balanced ratio of protein, fat, and carbs overall. So it's 40, 30, 30 is the average is the ideal.
Oh, my God.
Balanced.
I'm amazing.
No, actually, you all lost.
No, I have 12, Brittany 6, Jake 2.
You have 12 again? You had 12 before the question.
Well, we gave up on that one. But I think I did win the whole thing because it was winner take all.
How much water should you drink in a day?
Eight glasses.
Of how many ounces?
Eight ounce glasses. 64 ounces.
Eight.
Oh, Brittany?
They're right.
No, they're wrong.
No, they are.
No, they're wrong.
Really?
Yeah, they're wrong.
That's what it says all over the internet.
Yeah, and that's always wrong.
Oh.
The answer is you should drink water until your pee looks like lemonade.
All right.
I've said this on the show 1,000 yes. effing times.
I remember this.
How much water you drink is based on genetics, is based on your climate, is based on how often you exercise, is based on your diet. You drink until your pee looks like lemonade. If it looks like apple juice, keep drinking. You're an idiot. An idiot.
My idea of how much water we need is skewed.
Here's what sickens me. What sickens me right now is that you had months with me under my tutelage. You have been doing this show with me for years. He's a 20-year-old boy. He's a lost cause. But you two girls have no excuse.
No, because on Loser we drink Nalgene's after Nalgene's after Nalgene's.
You were working out 6 hours a day.
Right. But it's never been discussed of how much water I should drink.
I've always told you, drink until your pee looks like lemonade.
Well, mine looks like water, so I must be doing something right.
I don't even want to speak to you guys anymore. I'm sick to my stomach.
Okay, well then we'll take a break.
Hey, we are back, and Beth is waiting to talk to you.
Aha! Beth, what's going on?
Hi, Jillian. This is such a thrill. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me.
No, God, please. We're excited. Thanks for writing in.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a 14-month-old, and I've heard you talk about a couple of smoothies that you've made for Lou. And I was just wondering if you had any recipe ideas for toddlers.
You know, I've got my assistant desperately trying to reach Heidi right now. Try her at the beach on the home phone.
Okay.
And then try Heather. See if you can reach her through Heather. Okay. I got to be honest. Like, Heidi has become the queen of baby food making, toddler food making. She's got books that she uses. She's got purees going on and shakes going on and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, dude, it's like, this is literally, you say, this is the quinoa with the apple and raisin blend. And I'm like,
oh, that is so awesome. That's exactly what I would love to know about.
Yeah, she's like, then I did, this is the sweet potato and chicken puree. And I know she's got these books that she uses and for these recipes, and I'm trying to figure out, and she's got a machine that she uses. And it, like, puree. Babe! Oh, look. Hey. Honey, listen. I'm on with Beth right now, and she's got a 14-month-old, and she was asking me for, like, recipes to, for her. I'm so sorry, Beth. Boy or girl?
It's a girl.
Girl. For her daughter to eat better. And, like, where do you get all these puree recipes?
I get them. There's one cookbook I have. It's by Tyler Florin.
Oh, okay.
It's called Fresh Start. And then.
Did you hear that, Beth? Cookbook by Tyler Florence called Fresh Start.
Fresh Start.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's like, I think I just Googled organic puree recipes on Amazon, maybe. And there's a couple of good ones.
A couple of good books.
They're divided by age groups, too.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, but the interesting thing, though, is that Lou wants, like, we've been struggling like crazy to get her to eat vegetables, and she wants what the baby's eating. So she sees what the baby's eating, so we're like, all right, fine. And we're giving her pureed carrots. I mean, we're like, okay, if this is what's going to take to get her to eat vegetables. And we've been getting them in that way. And honey, what's that thing that you use to make those purees? What is that thing?
I don't really know what it's called. I'm not sure. There's a bunch of different companies that make it, but it just essentially steams and then purees all in one. And you can keep the water after you've steamed it so that the nutrients then go into the puree.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Thanks, honey.
It's called, like, it's B-A-E-B-A or something, I think.
B-A-E-B-A?
Something like that, yeah.
That's Brittany, find that online. Okay, Brittany's going to try to find it. All right, babe, thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
And you know what? You got to experiment with it. Like, there are some things that we give Phoenix, and he looks at us like we are the world's biggest a-holes. I swear to God. He looks at me, and he's like, and he gags. He literally is like, and then he vomits everywhere. It's like, do you live in vomit? I live in vomit,
yes,
pee, poop,
yes,
and boogers.
Oh.
I can't stand. I'm like, no, no. And it's like The Exorcist, just white puke everywhere, every effing day, every day. I can't wait. Do they get out of that at 14 months? Because the toddler's not puking, thank God.
You know what? After a year, it's amazing. Like, it really is a whole new world. I thought that she would never quit, but it's getting a lot better.
Oh, the puking. And it is called the B-A-E-B-A, so I guess B-A-B or whatever the heck, baby cook, baby food maker. So B-E-A-B-A, baby cook, baby food maker. Thank you so much, guys. And that's what she uses to make them. And it's like, you know, sometimes, like, he loves the sweet potato one. And you know what else he loves? We give him full fat organic vanilla yogurt, and then we'll mix in, like, pureed pears, and he loves that too.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it's been working. Like, it works with the toddler. So, and here's one other thing that I never realized when your daughter becomes a toddler. Bribery.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. Get yourself some organic graham crackers. You break it in half. It's like nothing. I don't know, 35 calories, 40 calories maybe. And then I'm like, okay, bud, you want a cookie? Yeah. Yeah, mama. I'm like, okay. If you want the cookie.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. You don't understand the things that go. You're laughing. This is my greatest revelation of 2012. If you want the cookie, we got to eat all the chicken. And that's how I get the chicken down. I have to do it like that. And I'm like, okay, it works. I'm telling you. And then it doesn't need to get, like, you don't need to get authoritarian.
Yes, I believe there is a word called authoritarian.
You don't need to be, like, a Nazi about it, basically.
Okay.
You know, like, eat, or you're going to your room, or okay, you're going to starve. Like, you can positively incentivize them with bribery. This way, they feel like they're winning, when really, you're like, you fool, it's an organic graham cracker. And, you know,
oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Give it a shot. Oh, and kale chips. Kale chips.
Are
yeah,
good.
She falls for that every time. And lemon meringue fish oil.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember you said something about that. It's lemon meringue.
Yes,
oh, so
Barleans.
Good.
The brand's called Barleans. It's for kids. And oh, my God. She's like a fool every time. I'm like, bud, you want some candy? Yeah, yeah. And I just squeeze that sucker right in her mouth. And I'm like, that's fish oil. Idiot! She has no idea. None. You got to really be deceitful and deceptive. But, you know,
that's
you can.
A, that's
no,
a good motherly advice.
You don't understand how clever these little suckers are. And they start to know what's going on. Let me tell you, you're in for a and they never get tired. You can't wear them down. They're like, we'll starve before we'll eat that. Not kidding. You gotta find ways, dude. So, yeah, I hope that helps.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so appreciative of all this information. Thank you.
These are gems I'm giving Beth.
And just see Beth after she hangs up. That woman, Jillian, she just told me to cheat and lie to my daughter.
Yeah, and then she's going to be like, this, want a cookie? Just watch. Just watch. That's me.
Very good.
Thank you so much for your time. I've taken all these notes, and I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you called, bud, really. And good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Beth. All right. You know what? I think we have time. That was pretty quick, so we'll come back. We'll have time for one more call.
All right, fine.
Okay, Becca is waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Becca, what's going on?
Hey, girl. First of all, I have to give you mad props because you're awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise.
Biggest fan. And I have done so many of your workouts, most recently your Body Revolution. And I did it once, had great results myself, and then talked my husband into doing it.
Okay.
So,
I love that. I love when the husbands get talked into doing it and they come up to me, my wife is making me work out with you. I hate it. I hate you. It cracks me up.
I like this one especially because you have the guys that are doing it in the background too. So then,
right.
Know,
to get the boy,
like
yeah.
She kind of belongs.
To get the boyfriends to do it so they're not like, this is just for chicks.
Yeah. Right. And I like, look. These are the muscles, you know. You lift up Omar's shirt. I'm like, there you go, hon. Right there. That's what we're doing. So, and he's seen changes on me just over the past couple of years. And now I'm, you know, I used to be like a couch potato and not very confident. And now I'm kind of like sporty and fit and girly. And yeah.
I love it.
I do too. So he's doing it with me. And, when he finally agreed to, the first workout was kind of like, I kind of dragged him there and was like, look what we're going to do. And we did it. And then I mapped out a whole calendar for us and was like, okay, we're going to be done with this in February. Our 15th anniversary is in August, and we want to go to Hawaii because that's where we got married.
Okay.
So I'm like, we're going to go to Hawaii when we finish, and we're going to be smoking hot.
Nice.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
So my question is, he works really early in the morning. He gets up at like 4:30 in the morning and doesn't get home until about 6 or 6:30 at night.
Okay.
Usually he comes home, immediately changes out of his work clothes, does his workout, and then eats dinner after that, which by then it's like 7 or 7:30.
Okay.
And then goes to bed at like 9.
Okay.
And so I'm just thinking, like, I mean, in a perfect world, whatever, he'd work half the time and we'd be doing your workout 10 times a day. But is it counteracting anything, or should he try to do it in the morning if he's eating so late before bed? Or?
Okay. Let's talk about timing. That's a great question. Everybody's always wondering if there's something special about when they work out or when they're eating that's going to make all the difference. The overall rule is no. I'll show you how to fine tune this a little bit, but the bottom line is if he's eating, let's say 2,000 calories a day, right?
Okay.
If he's eating them right before bed in one meal or throughout the day in 7 meals or, you know, ideally every 4 hours, 3 meals and one snack, if he's eating 2,000 calories, he's pretty much going to get damn near the same exact results no matter what. Study after study after study after study has shown that. Now, here's the catch. There's only one thing about food before bed. You want to be careful about starch right before you fall asleep, only because you release most of your human growth hormone in that first cycle of sleep, and insulin inhibits human growth hormone. It lowers your HGH production. So, you know, you want about 2 hours before you go to bed, you want to avoid starchy carbs, you know, like breads, pastas, sugars, things like that. That said, the reason that people talk about timing your meals, not skipping meals, not eating throughout the day, is because when you eat every 3 to 4 hours, you're setting yourself up to not be hungry. That it's really a strategy to help you hit your calorie allowance. It's all right, the blood sugar never gets too low. It doesn't fully drop. You're not eating throughout the day, so the blood sugar isn't constantly going. It's really an ideal strategy for taking in the right amount of calories and balancing your blood sugar. That is, I mean, that's the answer. So if this is the case and he's having to eat right before bed, it's not. Try to keep the starch out of there. And the other reason that nighttime eating is associated with weight gain is because usually they've had breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, and now you're at the fridge again.
Right.
So you see, it's usually like you're eating again. You're eating more.
Extra. Right.
So yeah, exactly. Now, with the timing of the workout, I've read just about every study under the sun on this one, and I've tried to come up with my own conclusions based on practical application in my own life and with people I've worked with. So you'll read things that say, okay, work out in the morning. And, you know, the reason is because when you work out in the morning, you have more energy throughout the day. If you work out at night, it might keep you awake. You know, and then I have people that are like, no, I work out at night and I go right to bed. I mean, it's just, you know, it really, the answer is this. Whenever you can fit it in, it's the best time to fit it in. There is one theory that I've applied and found to be actually effective in a perfect world. If you can
do it
work
at the same time
every day,
and I follow you, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the reason is simply because your body gets conditioned, so it starts to release, you know, all of the endorphins and the feel. It's like, oh, it's 11 o'clock, time to work out. So,
right.
You know, for me, I try in my perfect world. My perfect world is an 11 o'clock workout. I'm up at 8. I have my breakfast. I answer my emails. I do my work. And 10:30. You know, I've like had food in me for a couple of hours, so my blood sugar's still there, but it's not sitting in my stomach. And that's my best workout. If I go in the afternoon, I'm like, I wish I was dead. I wish I was dead. But with that said, I still, you know, I'm fitting it in. I'm getting my burn on. So if you want to talk about, how can you be the best you can be? What's the ideal scenario? Well, the ideal scenario is no starchy carbs 2 hours before bed. Eat every 3 to 4 hours, which is breakfast, lunch, one snack, dinner, and try to hit that workout at the same time every day. That said, if you're eating the same amount, no matter when you're eating it, you're going to be okay. And if you're, you know, you're working out scattershot all different times, whenever, whatever, you're still going to be fine. It might not feel as good. You might not feel as strong, but you're still burning the calories. So that's the ultimate goal. Eat less, move more. If you hit that, it's going to all work out in the end.
Awesome. So on the flip side of that, I tend to work night shift on occasion. Ugh. And I've read all the different things about that.
Brutal.
I'm a nurse, and I'm trying to make it so that I don't do that
because
I realize all the horrible detrimental effects of it. But when I do that, sometimes I'll end up waking up and working out like right as soon as I wake up without eating anything. Is that okay? Or is
that it's really bad. A lot of people will try to tell you, oh, you know, when you work out in an empty stomach, your body's going to burn more fat for fuel because you don't have blood sugar available. Okay, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be weak. So you're not going to get as much power and intensity in your workout, which means that you're not going to burn as many calories while you're doing the workout. And because your intensity is low, your afterburn or your EPOC is going to be lower. So ultimately, you're not burning as many calories, which is bad. Number two, your body burns sugar and fat no matter what. So you're going to burn a certain percentage of sugar and fat. Even if you're working at a higher intensity and you're looking to, your body is burning more available sugar, blood sugar and sugar stored, glucose and glycogen, the carbs that you, or sugar you've stored in the muscles, for lack of a more scientific explanation. The reality is if you don't use that, it gets stored as fat. And if you don't have blood sugar available and your body is looking for sugar, it will cannibalize its own muscle tissue because you can't convert fat to sugar. If that makes any sense. So don't do that. Absolutely. Eat about an hour before you train would be ideal.
Well, and I'm spreading the word. I'm telling everyone, do this program. If you want to lose weight, 30 minutes a day, you can do it. Oh,
thank you so much, bud. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye. I love that she got the husband doing it, man.
I know, very cool.
Yeah, she's cracking the whip over there.
Yeah, you should hire her as marketing. She's good.
I know.
She's good.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
I'll think about it.
All right. Well.
Why do you think I took the call? Say more great things. Yes.
You know, you're a smart woman.
I'm not stupid.
I know. I realize that.
Yeah.
All right. All right, little Missy. Time for you to chuckle down the road now.
Oh, God. I just...
Get on your horse. I see Bessie's tied up outside.
Like, I will go home because now that I have two kids, I'm like, I shouldn't drag this on. I've got to get out of here. But, like, chuckle down the road?
Chuckle down the road.
Okay. I'm just going to say okay. Yeah. I'm just going to do that. Okay, Janice.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I'll go chuckle down the road. That's what we're all going to do right now, everybody. Just say, okay, Janice, we're going to chuckle down the road.
All right, see you next week on the Jillian Michaels Show.
Now chuckle. And she did.
And she spoke words that would melt in your hands. And she spoke words of wisdom to the basement people.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.